I hope you're ready. It's that time. Climb aboard, all aboard, for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my mind.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answer.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig. We'll raise my rent. You are the kid. Welcome back to Sports Talk. It's the 5 o'clock hour. According to an executive decision made by Nick earlier, this is the official start to the weekend. It's not just when we sign on a Friday. We decided that 3 o'clock hour, 4 o'clock hour, probably thousands of people still working, not technically the weekend. We don't consider ourselves working because you'd have to have an actual job to do that. But either way, we got that going for us, which is nice. British Open, halfway home. Many big names are home. As a matter of fact, Tiger, Phil, Rory, I think those are the three biggest names in golf. I don't think I'm off base with that one. I'm not saying you don't know a lot of other golfers, be it Spieth or DJ or... I'm comfortable there. No Mount Rushmore. It's a big three. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Hit us up via the text line, 321-0824. Twitter equals at 953 the score for the station at Sports Talk 953 for the show. And yours truly at Rick Nodgers for our producer, Nick Rodgers. Was going over what went down on round two, British Open. Rory McIlroy home after a 79 yesterday. Got to give the guy credit playing on his home court. He roared back. How the hell do you shoot 65 in the second round of a major and not make the cut? Well, yeah, shoot 79 in the first round. It's literally the answer. If he shot 77, 78, anything lower than that, instead, done. And somebody, one of you who texted me said, what was I saying about qualifying for the cut? Because for those who followed the game for a long time, it was always be within 10 shots of the leader and ties. Not anymore. For the Masters, you got to be within 10 or the top 50. The British Open and the PGA, top 70. At the U.S. Open, top 60. So McIlroy and the announcers on the Golf Channel were saying it, that he needed a birdie on 18 unless... what was happening around him really came unglued. It didn't. The course was playing pretty generously today. Aaron Wise, the former Duck, is one under, made the cut nicely. The guy who led after the first round is now tied for the lead after the second round. J.B. Holmes goes 68-66. One of the locals from Ireland, Shane Lowry, 67-67. They're 8 under. Like I said, Tiger out, Phil out, lefty plus 5 yesterday. In order to make the cut today, he would have had to gone really low, shot a 67. Took himself out real quick. Shot a triple bogey on the second hole. Done! Tommy Fleetwood and Lee Westwood, the Brits, each have shot 68-67. They're just one behind at minus 7. Other names of note, Justin Rose, who ironically introduced himself to golf 21 years ago when Mark O'Meara had that crazy season where he won his only two majors in the same summer. Rose then was an amateur, finished just two shots back. You know, he's won a major. It was U.S. Open 6 years ago. In this event, he was runner-up to Molinari last year. You know, Rose has had a remarkable career. I wonder how many guys in history have won double-digit events on the PGA Tour and the European Tour. He's got 10 and 12. And now he's in the hunt to become one of those rare players who wins both Opens on both sides of the Atlantic. Also looming, the American contingent, the best major player going now, Brooks Koepka. He's been kind of unwavering. I have a feeling he's the one who could end up parring his way to the title because, you know, it just seems that when you get to a Saturday or a Sunday in the four majors he's won, you know, he hasn't shot 63, but others around him are going bogey, bogey, you know, find the water, find the woods. He's just like par, occasional birdie. And when the dust settles, it's like, oh, there he is again. Excuse me. He made 14 pars today, a bogey, three birdies, including just a silly good tee shot on the par 3 13th. He's only three back, just three behind. And a little Jordy Spieth have, I'll tell you what, how about this run? Birdie 5, birdie 6, eagle 7, birdie 8. Yikes-o. He picked up five shots to par on four holes. He did give one back with a couple of bogeys mixed in with a birdie on the backside. Added up, he's with Koepka, 5-under 67. Some big names, including the aforementioned Matt Kuchar, Tony Finau, John Rahm, Patrick Reed, the 2008 Masters champ, just four off the lead at minus three, within five of Lowry and Holmes. Some notables, Puma Boy, Ricky Fowler, joined by a guy with a major on his resume, 2012 U.S. Open winner Webb Simpson, as well as 2016 British Open champ Henrik Stenson and Xander Schauffele. So it sets up for a fun weekend like it usually is. You know, you look at the leaderboard now, it's like, it's going to be a five- or six-way rush to the lead. Normally by about 14 on Sunday, it's down to maybe three. But we'll see. That'd be neat to have like a get to the 17th, 18th hole and have like six guys in within a shot of the lead, and then maybe a four-way playoff or something like that. The British Open playoff has not changed format. I think they play four holes. I remember Daly winning it in 95. 284-8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline. As far as MLB, as we get into a full slate of action on the Friday evening docket, we had the Cubbies won the only matinee today. There's some pretty good series this weekend. But last night, Steve Strasburg, the Nats beat the Braves. By the way, within 5.5 now of the lead in the East, in the senior circuit. And Washington also leads the wild card race. We mentioned very early in the program that what Strasburg accomplished with the bat, kind of historic for a pitcher. Fifth guy in the last 50 years to have two hits in an inning. That included a homer. Edwin Jackson, who's played for every team, did it 9 years ago. And the thing to keep an ear out for, if you're following that race, the Nationals are hoping for some good news in the next day regarding ace Max Scherzer, who had his return from the DL postponed with his back continued to act up. The hope, though, is he'll be the starter when Atlanta plays Washington Sunday night on ESPN at the ATL. Crazy to think. Now, the Nationals were an afterthought most of the season. I mean, even as recently as Memorial Day, they were 11 games under 500 at 20-31. Now they're 51-44. That means that they've gone 31-13 since. You know, you got the Yankees hosting Colorado. You'd anticipate maybe a rough series for the starters. And Colorado touched up New York. I think that was, I saw a lefty. I assume that was Happ who was starting tonight. But a couple of runs early, but they've loaded the bases with one out. And Encarnacion, he's going to strike out, right? That's pretty much what he's got one homer and like 27 Ks as a Yankee. He has been Whiffer Jones.
I don't think he's going to bunt. So, yeah, strikeouts. That
would be awesome. Who the hell is looking for a bases-loaded bunt from a righty who runs so fast that it's more measured in oil painting as opposed to on the jugs gun? Or
measured in oil paint? You mean a sundial?
No, that's the kind of joke when he's going so slow you could time him via an oil painting instead of like a... What do they call it? Stopwatch. Good God, Steve. For Washington, though, did he just hit a grandy?
Yeah.
He just reached out, outside pitch, off speed stuff, and one-handed it into the first row of the left field seats, and that makes it a 4-2 New York. So, and by the way, he's given me the three-finger flip-off. Long distance across the country, he goes, tell that guy at KUJZ, I got his strikeout right here.
Number four.
A grandy. Get out the mustard. Get out the condiments and the onions. It's a big, grand salami.
It's a very fast cold take for you, yelling about how he only strikes out all the time, bases are loaded, oh, he should bunt. Boom, grand slam.
Next pitch, by the way.
12th career grand slam.
By the way, that's amazing.
Second most among active players, only two.
And the guy who leads with 14 is Albert Pujols.
There you go.
By the way, we did not know that off the top of our heads. We're reading the graphics on MLB Network. And I take that back. Oh, nice play by a fan in the outfield. What a big galoot. Just reached up and grabbed it. Well, you're doing very well. What was I talking about? Oh, the Nats. Anthony Rendon is really underrated third baseman. His problem is Nolan Arenado is in the world and the league at the same time as him. That kid Juan Soto is a delight to watch play. You know, he's got nice numbers, but his on base percentage is over 400 with not that high of a batting average, which means he's got a great batting eye. And you consider he's what, 21, something like that. Yeah, he's a joy. His OPS is about 950. And I'll tell you what. If this team were to get in the playoffs, that front three, assuming that Scherzer's going to come back healthy and be him, because he was on a roll when he threw his back out, between him and Strasburg and Pat Corbin, I'll match that front three over most anybody else out there. I'm not saying it's better than all of them. I'm just saying it doesn't take a back seat to many. He's been lukewarm with Sean Doolittle as closer, but he's tolerable. And their bullpen on the whole, I'd actually be surprised if their general manager, Mike Rizzo, did not make a move at the deadline to improve that relief corps. How about your boy Bumgarner last night?
Oh, mad bum.
He pitched nine innings, gave up one earned. And, you know, the funny thing is, well, he got him halfway home. I mean, would they end up going 16 innings last night?
He only threw 94 pitches,
I know.
Too.
The level of efficiency was scary.
Any other year where the Giants are in the position they're in and, you know, playoff hunt, you know, maybe not they're not sellers or they've had a couple more wins under their belt or whatever. He's absolutely spending the entire half of the bottom half of the ninth inning in Bochy's ear asking to come out for the 10th. Because I mean, they've been kind of, you know.
Yeah, his efficiency was scary.
His workload has been extremely limited. Like there are times, you know, Giants were up big or whatever. There's no reason to keep throwing him out there. Or they're down by a bunch. Ah, we'll pull him after six. He's thrown about 70 pitches. Like, you know, saving his arm, just trying to say, you know, to other teams, hey, look how many more bullets this guy's got left in him because we're saving them all for
right,
you.
Right, right.
So, yes, we're going to want that prospect now who's one higher up on your list because, you know, again, think of all the bullets that you're getting. I mean, basically, a complete game in 94 pitches.
It's crazy.
That's insane.
It's if you look at all the complete games this year, I bet you that's in the 75th percentile. Maybe more.
I think
maybe 90th percentile.
Kyle Hendricks had a complete game with under 100 pitches earlier for the Cubs.
Like I said, it's a rarity. First of all, a complete game is a rarity.
Right, yeah.
Nine innings is like, who does that anymore? And actually, coming out of our first break this hour, you'll hear from Buster Olney. I thought it was really interesting. He said that the key was he's not just fastball, fastball, fastball. And how rare is that in this day and age? I think he said a third of his pitches were fastballs. Just a perfect mix. And he was working on top all night. First of all, he's facing the Mets. But he only allowed 5 hits, 6 base runners. They've won 6 in a row. 9 of 10.
Yes.
June 29th was not that long ago.
They were
35 and 47.
Yes. 13-2 in
their
last
15. There you go. Because the problem was that the Dodgers are still 15 up on them.
Ah, that's fine. You know, let them keep, you know, throwing away all these runs and hits and things that they're actually going to need in October. Oh, sure. Look really fancy taking the top seed in the National League by winning a bad division by 25 games. That's fine. You're still going to lose the World Series in 6.
Boy, it's rationalizing the hell out of this.
Yes, thank you.
The fact that we're having this conversation and there's still 70-some-odd games to go, or right around 70 games, they're 2.5 behind Milwaukee for the last wild card spot. That's insane.
They're literally right in the mix.
The Nats and the Giants have changed the narrative of the National League in 3 weeks.
Yes. I mean, it was on Monday when the Giants were 3.5 games out. People were like, or, you know, 4 games out, whatever it was. I was listening to an MLB podcast, and they were like, if the Giants actually decide that they're not going to give in and, you know, sell away
right.
Will Smith, Sam Dyson, Madison Bumgarner, whoever, they've, you know, all of these great arms in their bullpen, and all of a sudden they're like, let's ride this hot wave and see really how long it can go. Like, they've been working with, you know, just, you know, leftovers off the scrap pile to work into their outfield, the prospect, you know, their farm system's getting a little bit better here and there. It's like, you know what, let's work on an extension with Mad Bum. Let's try and sign Will Smith to a long-term deal as well, because he's a dominant closer, and that's exactly what you're going to want when all of the kids show up. It's just like, yeah, we can make it work. Why not? That ruins the plans of another half dozen teams in the National
League. It sure does. And by the way, if you are an analytics guy or a statistical geek like me. And by the way, here's something you haven't seen all year. Yankees take the lead, and the trainer is out talking to the pitcher. They are just DL Jones. It's unbelievable. And now Happ is having to take some warm-up pitches because he tweaked something. Thanks. But the Giants, I was looking at their numbers. They're 3 leading hitters as far as having at least 250 plate appearances.
Oh, no.
This is amazing.
Oh, no.
Kevin Pillar in center, sitting 257. He's third. Panda, Sandoval, is second at 258. Their leading hitter with more than 250 plate appearances is Buster at 259.
Oh, boy.
257, 258, 259. Who's their leading home run hitter? Off the top of your head. I'll give you a hint.
Isn't it Kevin Pillar?
The hint is he's not playing because he just went on the DL.
Oh, wow.
Longoria.
Does he have 12?
One more, 13.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying, you pinpoint these numbers and it doesn't point to a team that's coming on a ton.
No, it's been Alex Dickerson. Like, Alex Dickerson showed up, and he had that great series in Arizona where he, like, in his first at-bat, he hit a grand slam. He finished the weekend with, like, 12 RBI. His OPS was, like, 9,000. He was literally, and I, you know, I jokingly had him and light him up, and I was like, he's a Hall of Famer. The Giants are making the playoffs. He's literally becoming a Hall of Famer, and the Giants are going to make the playoffs because his OPS is, like, 1,600. Mike Yastrzemski is all of a sudden, like, a very solid outfielder. Kevin Pillar is like an incredible defensive center fielder.
He really is.
Who's making just fantastic plays all over
the place. I like
the
way that guy goes and gets it. He reminds me, he's got a little Cameron in him, Mike Cameron. Athletic, yeah. Fast, and if he gets a beat on it, it's his.
Yeah.
It's his.
The team makes no sense.
And that, yeah, the rotation, you know. Who's their number two guy? Samardzija? His ERA is like 4.
Even Samardzija's been really good. He's gone, I think, at least 7 innings.
He threw great last time.
Well, in his last 3 starts, he's gone at least 7 innings, and I think he struck out at least 6 in all of them.
Well, I have to tell you, the bullpen's actually good.
Yes, it's very good.
Yeah. You know, you got the Fresh Prince of the Bay Area on the back end. Sam Dyson, Watson, Maranta is the correct pronunciation?
Reyes Maranta is pretty talented.
Yeah. They've all got ERAs under 3. Ferran Zaiti, their general manager. I'm going to be very curious to see. You know, he's in an interesting spot because you still have, what, 11 days?
Yeah, it's getting tight.
You know, they could go on a losing streak and be like, yeah, we're done. Let's move. Or they could be like, well, we're the front runner. All of a sudden, we might need an extra arm.
Well, yeah.
Or a bat or something like that.
I mean, if they keep mowing down the Mets, like, that's going to be all fun and good.
That's another thing to keep an eye on.
Also slightly expected, even for the Giants, as weird as they've been. But they run into the Cubs. And then they go on the road again, and I know they end up playing the Phillies and maybe another NL East team, and then they play the Rockies again, like, over their next 2 weeks or so. If they just, you know, if the Cubs come in here and they just, you know, knock them over with a feather, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow, things are not exactly what we thought they would be. I think they're going to, by this time next week, they're probably going to very, very clearly know if they're sellers or maybe even sneaky buyers at the deadline.
Yeah, there's the deal. And like you said, 3 more with the Mutts, then the Cubbies come to town. By the way, with the way Darvish is throwing, next Tuesday, Bummy versus Darvish.
I mean, even last night's Bumgarner-Syndergaard was a really good matchup
to
watch.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Hello.
That was a lot of fun.
Then, like you said, they've got a 10-game road trip, 9-game road trip, at Pods, at Filthy, at Colorado. Yeah, so I guess it's a classic case of make a note.
Today's show is brought to you by the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk. Coors Light is the official sponsor of your Oregon Ducks and the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953 for your chance to get involved. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Only 35% fastballs, a lot of curveballs, a lot of sliders, a lot of changeups, which means that hitters can't focus on that fastball, which had been the big concern. He looks a lot more attractive if I'm an interested team, whether the Houston Astros or the Atlanta Braves. He certainly, to me, is improving his trade value.
That's what we were talking about. But is he increasing his trade value, Madison Bumgarner? Or is he increasing the chances the Giants are going to take the other route and decide they want to make a run at this thing? Especially, they win tonight. They're a 500 team for the first time all season.
Or they do what the Yankees did with Chapman, where you trade him away, you take the lot of prospects, and you sign him again.
By the way, Matt Harvey, the artist formerly known as the Dark Knight, has been designated for assignment. The Angels rolled the dice 1 year, $11 million. He got killed last night. His ERA in 12 starts is 7. Remember, when the Mets made the World Series in 2015, you know, a lot of people were talking about reminiscent of the teams from the late 60s, 70s, and then into the 80s, where they had, you know, drafted so well and put together, you know, Syndergaard, Harvey, DeGrom. That was supposed to be like the big three that was going to carry him into the 2020s. Harvey's done. I don't know who's going to take a chance on him now. I mean, what for? His fastball that once topped out at 97, they said was like 91 last night. And it's like, that's a lot to lose off your heater when you don't have that much guile. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's take phone call, bring in James. James, good afternoon. How's it going?
Steve, how's it going, man?
Great. What's up?
Hey, so I know you guys have been going a little baseball here, but so I've been hearing the update from Alex for 3 hours now about the Tyreek Hill thing, and it's just, to me, I got some questions for you. Give me a minute here.
Okay.
And I'd like some of your rebuttals, but
rebuttals.
So here's the thing: I'm confused because hasn't the NFL suspended players before, even though there wasn't sufficient evidence to
prosecute,
charge someone?
To prosecute.
Right.
Right. Absolutely.
Right. Okay, so in this situation, you have a guy that is deranged enough that he choked and punched his pregnant girlfriend in the stomach, right, and pled guilty to it. And I know that, like, the judicial system does not work in the way that you just, like, you know, connect the dots. You got to have, you know, some evidence, I guess.
Certainly.
But, right. I mean, you could get people getting in trouble for stuff they didn't do if you just connect dots. But, you know, the fact of the matter is the kid was abused. He's talked about being punched before. He had a broken arm. And you got that deranged psychopath that has the kid in his freaking custody. I know you can't connect the dots, but I'm sorry, I can't help but connect the dots. And if the NFL has not prosecuted people, or not, if the NFL has suspended people before who haven't been prosecuted due to insufficient evidence, how the hell are they not suspending this guy?
No, and the crazy thing is the NFL and the team simply issued a statement. You know, they didn't take questions, they didn't have a media session, but look, you and I are looking at this from a rational point of view to protect the woman and the child. What we're not understanding is that he had 87 catches for 1,500 yards and 12 touchdowns.
Yeah, no, I
That's
am understanding
what's important.
That.
That's
I
what's
am
important.
That, but that's not what's important. And one other thing real quick. Could you imagine being head of the union for the NFL and having to go up and argue in arbitration for these guys?
Yeah.
In goodwill, and then go home and sleep at night? It's kind of unbelievable.
Well,
but
it's kind of the life of like a defense lawyer.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Thanks, Steve.
Hey, good questions. Valid all, always. Good to hear from you, James. Have yourself a magnificent weekend. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. You know, speaking of all those moves, we were talking earlier that when people look back at the 2018 offseason, and I know it carried deep into 2019, Harper and Machado got signed pretty late. Had spring training started, or was it like...
It had started, yes.
All right.
I think... For Harper, because I remember seeing Kristen Rogers'
tweets
like at the spring training facility when it happened. Machado might have been a little bit sooner because Harper was always going to wait to see what Machado got and then ask for more.
I thought the offseason, I pointed it out earlier in the week, that when you go back and you review some of the evaluations offered up by those who cover the game, it was funny because the article in The Ringer right before the Dodgers broke camp called their offseason disappointed because, you know, they traded Puig. It turned out they really weren't in the Machado or Harper sweepstakes. They decided, and ironically, it's they who had Machado last year. Verdugo became a regular. The Yankees, who've got the second best record, I was talking, you know, man, I'd really like to see them get a lefty in Dallas Keuchel, blah, blah, blah. First, I originally thought getting Pat Corbin, who I liked as a guy who's got, you know, a fierce slider, keep guys off balance. But they signed DJ LeMahieu, that's one of the best free agent moves of the offseason. Gio Urshela from the Jays. The Astros signed Michael Brantley, became an outfielder. And I thought that the sneaky move was getting Wade Miley, who has an injury issue and never really lived up to what a lot of people thought after a couple of years in the bigs. But, you know, he's having a really nice season. The Twins, you know, you don't expect them to be the splashy kind, but getting Marwin Gonzalez, having a good season, you know, a contributor, gave a one-year deal to Nelson Cruz, who rakes. And Martin Perez is a pitcher they picked up from Texas. Wow, look at that. Gardner just nailed a guy at the plate on a sac fly. Is he up? Does that always happen when a guy makes a good play in the field? Is that like a rule in baseball? Is that one of baseball's actual written rules? It's not unwritten. Like, that's not even Gardner. I'm an idiot. But anybody. So right there, we're talking about teams that are in contention, having really good seasons. Tampa, who has got the second best, the next best record. I went from Dodgers, Yankees, Twins, Tampa. They actually made a pretty big move. I mean, they signed Charlie Morton away from the Astros, who was absolutely fantastic his 2 years with Houston. The year they won all the marbles for the first time 2 years ago, 14 wins. Last year, he makes his first all-star team at age 34 and ends up with the best winning percentage in the bigs at 15-3. Lead the league in ERA. He's got 11 wins this year and only two losses. You know, that's I kind of like going back, and it shows. And as somebody who's obviously followed, in essence, the biggest spending team in, like, American sports, the thing has always been, they've got a hole, throw money at it. They got an issue, throw money at it. They haven't really done that. And it's actually been kind of nice to see, because I think what they've done, and when you have, especially in baseball, be it, you know, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Yankees, you know, the teams, the Cubs that have great local TV deals, as well as the cut MLB teams get from Fox and from ESPN and from, Fox and ESPN. That's TBS?
TBS for the playoffs, yeah, second half of the season,
right,
as well.
I think the default mentality is they have an advantage because they have more money to sign free agents. That's not really the smartest route. I mean, at times, it's nice when you could say, yeah, we want that guy for $120 million over 5 years. You know, you're not going to get that with Tampa or the Marlins. But it's building your scouting system. So be it in the island nations or in Latin America or on the Pacific Rim, that's where the Yankees have really excelled. You know, I hate to say it, but ever since Boss George passed on and his kids running the show decided that we're going to trust Cashman, he's our baseball guy, and they haven't just gone money, 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 money. A lot of their young players are guys who they've found or they picked up in, you know, secondary free agent signings or, you know, less splashy billboard trades. And you know, you've seen that. Obviously the Dodgers have been really good at that, and not coincidentally, first of all, it was the great tradition of the Dodgers. You know, Branch Rickey was really the first guy who, and I think he did it first with the Cardinals, then the Dodgers, who really turned the farm system into a powerhouse where you just bring up guys. And of course then it was a little bit different because if you brought up a great young player, you weren't going to have to pay him because free agency didn't exist until the mid-1970s. But I think if you went through and found the most successful teams that go on these good runs, you'll find that it's not all about a big deal or a big free agent. You know, if you look at the Cubbies roster, yeah, They made a move to get Jose Quintana, a trade. John Lester, Yu Darvish. But the lumber guys, Rizzo, Baez, Bryant, I believe Schwarber as well, maybe Almora. I believe we're draft pick. Yeah, Schwarber was a top five pick going back to 2014. So again, that takes a concentrated philosophical effort on behalf of the organization. And by the way, you know what's a real big coincidence? Let's see, the guy who broke the curse and built the Red Sox into a powerhouse, then took over the Cubs, and remember, they tore it down. They were like, okay, and he said, we're going to suffer a bit, but we're going to get there. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, I give you Theo Epstein.
He's going to come on the show, right?
Yeah, you know, I keep forgetting that. We really have to make a push to get Theo, because there's no question I would have to get him comfortable and say, you know, by rights as a lifelong Yankee fan, it would be dangerous for me to go back to New York after people found out I even spoke to you.
See, I'm worried at this point he would just like, you know, okay, I'm agreeing to an interview, Steve Tannen and Eugene, they, you know, work it through the Emeralds, the Cubs affiliate, all that. He's like, oh, everything about this sounds great. And then he's going to hear your New York accent, your Jersey accent, and he's just going to be like, this was a huge mistake. I should have never done this.
Benavides loses his job.
Oh, yeah,
Benavides,
Allen's fired, Allen's coming for you.
One interview, I ruined my career, Allen's, and yep, several people within the organization.
Just, we're going to get a drop.
Yet it would totally be worth it for one wise-ass comment to Theo.
Oh, I'm not even thinking you get the comment, and you're going to be like, he's going to hear you introduce him talking about the show. He's just going to know this was a mistake, and all of a sudden he's just going to be like, I have to go.
Click. Then he buzzes his secretary. Get me Alan Benavides in line one, please.
Tell Alan he doesn't. Just, you know what? Don't even. I'm not going to tell him. You tell him he's fine. Just this
say,
has
were
been
you
your
the one that set up
now
the interview? Do I even have to finish the sentence? All right. Let's take our final break of the What a Week I'm Having. We'll come back and we'll have the tweet of the day and wrap it up on a Friday. 95.3 The Score.
And now, it's the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day.
They are trending, twittering, tweeting, you name it.
On Sports Talk with Steve Tannen.
LOL, laugh out loud, OMG, oh my God, WTF, why the face?
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Hi, everybody.
Well, hello there, Dr. Nick.
Hi-ho, Steve. Nick Rogers here at the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk for the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
A beer.
Couple of, a nominee and then a tweet of the day as well from today. At DA on CBS, that's Damon Amendolara, the guy you hear right here on CBS Sports Radio from 6 to 9 in the morning every weekday. Steve, you sent him a package a couple weeks ago, and at DA on CBS tweeted, thanks to Steve Tannen at Sports Talk 953 and our awesome affiliate at 953 The Score in Eugene, Oregon for the duck football. It has been put to good use. Hashtag quack quack. And there's a great photo of the duck football next to a gigantic drawing of DA on drive, you know, flying the mothership, as what he likes to call the DA show, and then a photo of he and Mraz
trying to eat
catch.
It.
Yeah, Mraz is just completely blurry in these pictures for some reason. I don't know if it's just in every photo he can't stay still. He looks very excited to have a little duck football as well. Thanks for, I guess you sent that, what, like two, 3 weeks
ago?
Yeah,
it said 7 to 10 business days because I paid the regular shipping. It was in no rush. I wanted to get there by football season. Well, I was cleaning out my garage, and I found when you do this, like every time the Ducks play a big Civil War, every time they get a bowl game, there are usually these like commemorative balls.
Yeah.
And I had it just sitting there, and it was in pristine condition because it was in the case. I was like, well, they're now one of us. We're the Duck Station. I know those guys would appreciate it. I've met them before. And lo and behold, it was actually a rare good decision on my part.
There we go. I guess it just took a while for the guy walking it across the country to actually.
he could have ridden his bike faster.
But our refreshing tweet of the day comes from me. It comes from Mark in Tennessee. It comes from Alex and Steve. We made t-shirts, guys. We haven't talked about this today. We've got t-shirts. You can see them on my Twitter, our Twitter, at Rick Nodgers. I guess I'm giving myself the tweet of the day.
Wow, there's a rarity.
It feels weird. I don't like that I gave it to myself. We have t-shirts. They say, y'all got a coconut up. CBS Sports Radio 95.3 FM. They're fantastic. It's one of the best top... I mean, it's obviously a Mount Rushmore moment on this show's history. It only took 18 months, but we have t-shirts. We're going to have them out at remotes. So anytime Steve goes somewhere, we're going to have these t-shirts to, I think, give away. People are asking for money for them, and they're going to be willing to give money for the shirts. So maybe we should charge people for them. But I think they're going to be free because we love you, the listener, that much. I know I got mine for free, but I also work here. So maybe I technically
Is that what it says? How come I didn't get one?
Alex was looking for a small. He couldn't find one for you.
All right.
I just think they didn't come in your size.
I did get a cool station t-shirt. Today, a golf shirt.
We did get a polo. Those, I think, are not for sale or even to give away. So we got t-shirts. So thanks to me and the station and Mark in Tennessee for the refreshing tweet of the day. Find us at 953thescore on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I'm at Rick Nodgers. You switch the N and the R around. Steve's on Twitter at SportsTalk 953 as well. Don't be a jerk. Just do it.
And speaking of the DA show, 6 to 9 weekdays here on 95.3 The Score on Twitter, at DA on CBS. All right, to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go. Bring in Tom. Tom, thanks for hanging. How's it going?
Hey, doing well, Steve. Got a quick question for you.
Okay.
The Hayward Field renovation, will the infield be any bigger than it was before?
The infield bigger? I really have no idea. I just know they're adding to the capacity, and I think they're changing the grandstand.
Okay, I wasn't sure. Would the infield be large enough to hold a soccer match?
At Hayward Field?
Yeah.
I don't know. Are they going to change the dimension of the track? Because that would mean the infield stays the same size, right?
Well, I don't know what all they're changing. I wasn't sure if it was just the capacity or if they were elongating the track at all or changing the dimensions of the track.
Oh, that's a good question. You got me. I mean, don't they have a soccer field?
Well, I was thinking of something with the larger capacity than, 3,000 or 4,000 people. I thought that if they were making the field larger at Hayward Field, that maybe the Portland Timbers, coming down for a friendly or something like that, put 20 or 25,000 people out there to watch that.
Wow, that's advanced thinking, Tom, which if you've listened to the show, knows way over our heads.
Yeah, I'll kick the coverage there, I can tell.
Nice. Have a good weekend. So I'd actually be curious, if the Timbers came down and played a friendly, what does Pape hold, like you said, a few thousand, but how many do you think would pack out Autzen? 25, 30 grand?
I would think so.
It
would be about the same size, I think, that we got for the International Champions Cup between PSG and Inter when they played 2-3 summers ago. I think it would be the same size crowd.
What did that draw? Do you remember?
I think it was in the 30s. It was certainly not a sellout.
No.
It was also very...
That's asking a lot also. Yeah. That's 60,000 people.
Yeah,
for
it was a lot of people. It's just there's no like intermediate...
In an exhibition.
Yeah, there's no intermediate size stadium in this area. And
no,
so
there's not.
Even for the big tournaments, they overlook Portland because they want to outsell, I guess before the renovation, they wanted to outsell the capacity where the Timbers play, and they would just go to Seattle, or they play in the Bay Area, and they play in the big cities because that's where the players want to go and it's where the teams want to be and it's where the people are, so they go there. I think being able to fit a soccer field at New Hayward Field I think would be a very interesting venue if it can be done, because I know there was while you were on vacation there was pictures that were popping up of old Hayward Field of the Ducks playing football on that
prior
field.
To 1967,
right? So you would think that if it's about the same size, maybe you'd be able to fit a soccer field on there and have an exhibition or a friendly game, because it would be interesting. It would be a good way to get people interested in the Timbers and to the new stadium.
By the way, in a rarity, I may be helping here.
What?
Tom asked about Hayward Field. We just got a text. There's a website, haywardfieldrenovation.com. I would say, Tom, go there and find your information, because obviously they have what we lack. This weekend, by the way, Baseball Hall of Fame induction ceremonies with Mike Mussina, Lee Smith, the late Roy Halladay, Edgar Martinez, and, of course, the first one ever to get in unanimously, Mo Rivera. So definitely look forward. And, you know, a lot of the years I was like, I don't think Edgar deserves to be in. But, like, now with Baines in, you know, Edgar should have his own wing. But after watching that special on the 95 Mariners, how they saved baseball in Seattle, you know what? I always say it's a sign of strength to admit you're wrong. Edgar probably should be in already, but it'll be awesome to see him inducted this weekend. All right, everybody, have yourselves a merry little weekend. Enjoy British Open, getting up early next couple days, a little coffee, a little breakfast, final round. Like I said, some MLB, and my word, by the time we gather Monday, we'll be 12 days from the start of Oregon practicing for the 2019 season. Yeah, I said it. Have a good one. Thanks for hanging. Catch you Monday, 95.3, The Score.
He gone!